We have one scripture today, so if you will, go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 16. The Lord whispered the direction on this word to me the first of the week. Just ask that you would open up your hearts to the Lord and see what He wants to speak to you in it today. I want to teach you something about grace today, and about God's supply for your life. Exodus chapter 16. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, Oh, that we had died in the land of Egypt. Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Remember, they had been in slavery their entire lives, and they complained and cried out to God. They cried for a deliverer. And now they're remembering the past as though it's wonderful, and they've already forgotten God's great miraculous deliverance as He broke the strength of Egypt, parted the Red Sea, and brought them out into the wilderness. Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for He hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us? Also Moses said, This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints, which you make against Him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses spoke to Aaron, Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for He has heard your complaints. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quail came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, What is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. Notice this and remember it. Let each one gather it according to each one's need. One omer, that is a measure. One omer for each person according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, Let no one leave any of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that today, for tomorrow is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, of course, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you on the Sabbath, therefore he gives you, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called its name manna. And it was like white coriander seed. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer of manna in it and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. And if you remember your study of the word of God, when they went into the land of Canaan after the 40 years, the promised land, the manna ceased. And they began to feed on the produce of the land. Now let's enter into this morning. One of the greatest privileges that you and I have as children of God, one of the greatest things that God has given us, is that we can be taught by the Lord. I want you to take these words to heart this morning. Ask yourself, am I taught by the Lord? Does the Lord teach me? How many of you know that the Holy Spirit, under the new covenant, as we are in Christ, the Holy Spirit, one of his functions is as our teacher. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as the spirit of counsel and wisdom, along with many other things. And so it is the work of the Holy Spirit to lead the believer and to teach the believer. I would even ask you this morning, what have you learned recently? What has the Holy Spirit made real to your heart from the Word of God? Not just what facts have you learned, but what principles has he worked into your own spirit for your own life? How has he led you? What has he taught you in your walk with God? And I would ask you this morning, who can be a better teacher than the one who created everything, including us? Who could better teach us than the one who created us? Who could better teach us about our life and this world and the world to come than the one who created every one of those things? If I don't understand my own self, don't raise your hands, but how many of you could say, I really don't get it when it comes to my own self? I don't understand my own self most of the time. When I don't understand my own self, who better to teach me to understand my own problems and my own issues? Who better to teach me than the one who made me? To be taught by God. When I don't understand my environment, the things around me, even to put it in the context of today, in controversial issues, even if I don't understand, what is my responsibility to the environment? Because believe it or not, I know that we can get very political here. We do have some responsibility towards our environment. We are to be good stewards. So who better to teach us how to relate to our environment than the one who created our environment? Who simply spoke and it all sprang into existence. When I'm not sure about my future and what my future holds, he is already there. He exists outside of the limitations of time and space. Who better to teach me about tomorrow than the one who already lives in tomorrow? Amen. Who better to help me to understand the past and my own past than the one who is sovereign and again exists outside of time and space? He is looking with one glance at yesterday, today, and forever. He was sovereign, even though I may not understand the things that have brought me to this place in my life, some of them good, some of them very, very bad. But He is sovereign over all of it. He understands it. He knows why. And He's able to speak and reveal it to me. When I don't understand relationships, and how many of us have problems with relationships? Who better than the one whom the Bible says is a friend who sticks closer than a brother? When I don't understand marriage, who better to teach me about my own marriage than the one who laid the foundation for marriage, the one who created marriage, the one who created covenant? He is, not just He wrote, He is the owner's manual. He's the owner's manual for everything that we don't understand. All things. He is the owner's manual, and He can unfold it. He can unveil it, and we can be taught of the Lord, as the words used in Scripture, to be taught of the Lord. And what a teacher He is. Amen. What an amazing teacher He is. So many are sitting in His classroom. If you're a believer, you're in the classroom of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many of you are good in class. I don't know how many of you were good in class, but the Lord has a lot of people sitting in the back row shooting spitballs. You know, you're in the classroom of the Holy Spirit, and every day is a class, and every day He is wanting to teach you something about who you are and what He wants to do in your life. And I want to now begin to describe another function, another avenue, because He is not only the teacher, because I'm talking about a teacher this morning. You may wonder, what does this have to do with manna? But we will come back to that. I'm describing to you the teacher of the universe, the teacher of all believers, the very function of the Holy Spirit. But now I'm also talking to you about Him as provider. He is your provider. Everything that you have, everything that you own, everything that passes through your hands, everything that you need is supplied by Him. He is the provider, both in the natural and in the spiritual, as we are going to see. He does provide in the natural for you, especially if you are a believer. He provides in the natural for you. He also provides spiritually for you. Have you ever thought about it this way? I thought this was just a strange way of looking at it, but I felt that the Lord gave this to me. What do you think is probably the most precious commodity that you have as a believer? You could argue several different things, but one of the most precious commodities that you have as a believer is grace. The grace of God, the undeserved favor of God upon your life, forgiveness, the grace that allows you to have a relationship with Jesus, not based upon whether you're good enough or not based upon your works, but based upon what He did for you on the cross. Grace has been supplied to you. He is the provider of all things. But beloved, grace cannot be measured. Grace cannot be measured in pounds. Grace cannot be measured in volume or size, as in gallons. Grace cannot be measured in area, as in acres. You don't say, oh, God has given me 100 acres of grace today. Or God's given me, we may use poetic language and say an ocean of grace, but you can't measure it in volume. And we can't say how many pounds of grace He has given me today. So if I were to use those terms and say, how many pounds, it sounds so foolish, how many pounds of grace does God supply each day for me? We don't use those words because it can't be measured. How many acres of grace does God supply to me each day? And yet our scripture today is a picture of this. in a limited fashion. It is a picture of your teacher, and it's a picture of your provider and how much he provides. So bear with me as we move forward into it a little bit further. Because in order to sustain this vast multitude that came out of Egypt, we know that there were probably more than 2 million people. So let's just assume over 2 million people came out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses, and they are now in a wilderness place. They're in a hard place, and God provides for them. How much does God have to provide in order to sustain over 2 million people in a desert, in a barren wilderness? We know that conservative estimates are that it would require 2,000 tons or 4 million pounds of food every single day. 4 million pounds of food every single day, which is 3 freight trains, each one a mile long, filled with food. Maybe you've seen the movies and you see the Israelites coming out of Egypt, and if you really look at it, it probably looks like 100,000 at the most, 50,000 actors and actresses playing those parts, coming out of the land of Egypt, going through the parting of the Red Sea. But over 2 million people requires astronomical amounts of food in order to sustain them every day in a place where there is no food. In addition, it requires over 11 million gallons of water every single day. Have you thought about this? 40 years. Because of their unbelief as they came to enter the land of Canaan. 40 years until that generation died up, then their children could inherit the promised land. And all of this came, you already know this, but may I ask you this way. How good were they? You remember the story. How good were these people? They were known as murmurers and complainers against God. How faithful were they? Well, remember the story of the golden calf? That's how faithful they were. What did they do to deserve to be delivered out of Egypt? Not one thing. What good works did they do in order to pay God for 11 million gallons of water and 4 million pounds of food every day? It was all grace. It's a picture of grace. It was the grace of God sustaining those who wear his name, sustaining those who are in covenant with him. God made a covenant with his people. And when God makes a covenant with his people, he will sustain his people. Amen. And you need to hear that today. Now, for God, what seems like an impossible task is not even difficult. We know that. Far more difficult than being their provider was his other job, to be their teacher. Far more difficult than providing all of that food and water was to take 2 million ex-slaves who never knew anything but life in bondage and to teach them to be a nation of free men and to teach them how to walk with him and to lead them in the way of righteousness and to raise up an army, which he would do. All of those things with this people. So the teacher, every day is the children of Israel are led through the wilderness, the teacher is teaching. 40 years to teach these people and their children the lessons of what it means to depend upon the Lord. And what does he use? What does the teacher use? He uses the most basic of things as teaching materials. Food, water, the basics of life. This is what he is going to use to educate them, to teach them. Think for a moment how he used all manner of things to teach this multitude. Think about it for a moment, those of you who know the story. Remember that he taught them the highest perfection through what? The law. He gave them the law right off immediately on Mount Sinai. And it showed them the very highest standard of holiness and perfection. He used it to teach them what perfection is. And then in order to teach them the deepest truths of all concerning how, because they had failed at righteousness, he would provide a way for them to be saved. Oh, one of my favorite things to teach on is the tabernacle. I haven't done it in a while, but all of the things that he used in the tabernacle to instruct them and to teach them. And these were symbols. They were types and shadows of the coming of the Messiah. And he used this as a teaching station in the midst of the people of God. And here in this chapter, we see the beginning of God teaching them the most basic and foundational truths that they need to know, and using in order to teach them their hunger and their thirst. We come here every Sunday, and this right here, we didn't make this up. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night before he was betrayed, took bread and blessed it, and took the cup and blessed it. He said, "This is my body given for you. Eat this. This is my blood given for the forgiveness of sin. Drink of it." It is a teaching ministry. It is a reminder, and it is a teacher. Every time, every Sunday that we partake of the bread and at the cup, the Holy Spirit is also teaching and instructing. You may say, "Well, I've known for a long time what it means." Well, he's teaching the next generation. It's a continuity that has lasted ever since the time of Christ, week after week after week, all over this globe. People are being taught by the Holy Spirit using bread and wine. So the teacher goes out to teach in the midst of the people of Israel. And he teaches them by way of manna, a word that means, what is it? By means of bread that falls from heaven, the Bible later describes it or calls it angel's food, heavenly food. So the teacher has different means of instruction. Teachers have different means of instruction. If you remember Jesus in the New Testament, he taught a different way. Not so much by objects, but he taught by everyday stories, the parables, or by pointing to a crop, or pointing to something with the animals or whatever it may be, or to the children, and using them as instruments of instruction. He talked about the sowing of the seed and the different kinds of soil and all of these different things. But here in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit teaches, and many times in the Old Testament, God by his Spirit teaches through the giving of a gift. Or the giving of gifts. Now you may not know what I mean by that at the moment. But when God gives a gift, you're going to see it in a moment. When God gives a gift, it is out of love. But he also gives a gift that will in turn become a test. Because whenever a teacher teaches something through a gift, how many of you know the teaching is followed up by a test? Amen? It would serve us well, and it's not the subject of this message, but when I say that the God in the Old Testament, that he often gives gifts in order to teach, this is not only an Old Testament principle, and it might serve us well to remember that before God judges a nation, he pours out lavishly in the way of prosperity, in order to show forth his love and his care for his people. He pours out lavishly, even though the people are standing on the brink of judgment because of their sin. God sends lavish gifts, saying, "Turn your heart to me. I am your provider. I care for you. I love you." Before a nation is judged, you see a pattern in Scripture. Before a nation is judged, God sends prosperity, a wonderful economy. And if the people do not respond in repentance and revival, then it is another hardening of the heart towards God, and judgment comes. So the Lord tells the people what they're to do here, and they're going to go out in the morning. And it's amazing to me, because so many times with these people, and we'll see it if we were to continue. We won't go further with it today beyond this, but when the people, after 40 years of receiving this manna, notice that to them it was wonderful. It was like wafers made with honey, and they could cook it different ways. And it somehow, I'm not saying this because all God has to do is decree this, but the Bible says for 40 years, they were never sick, they were never feeble, and that their clothing never wore out. I don't know what part manna played in their health, but nevertheless, it sustained them. It was what God knew was best for them for 40 years. And then at the end of those 40 years, they started murmuring. They'd already murmured and complained for 40 years about other things. Then they said, "We are so sick of this manna. Sick of God's gift to us." And so he gives them instructions to go out, and they're to gather this gift from God. And again, when the teacher teaches, he also gives a test. We're going to see the gift and the test this morning. Then tonight, those who will be here tonight, we're going to look at the deeper spiritual application, as if this isn't enough, of the manna. For Jesus said, "I am the manna that came down from heaven." So he taught them by the giving of the gift. He wanted them to know him. They were going to know him better. When the Holy Spirit is teaching you, he's teaching you many different things, but it's always to reveal more of Christ, that you might know the Lord intimately. He wanted them to know them, so he used the gift to show them some things. Number one, his care for them. His care for them. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you doubt that God really cares for you? Or that he wants to care about the very details of your life and to provide for you? In this vast multitude of 2 million plus people, everyone, every single person had their own measure, their own omer of manna every day. No one was forgotten. No one was forgotten. And beloved, you are not forgotten today, even if you feel like you are. Each person received sufficient needs for that day, but never more and never less. Maybe that bothers you a little bit, as we'll see in a few moments, but they couldn't stockpile it. They couldn't store it up. It was a miraculous thing. And they couldn't, they only received what they needed per person, depending on the individual needs of that person. God will take care of the individual details, the needs of your specific life. He was trying to teach them this, that it would be passed down long after the years of manna, that you and I would know that he will supply and that he cares about the details of each life. He saw to it that they were filled to the brim with exactly what they needed, and he'll do the exact same thing for you. And I'm going to enter into some things now, and you have to understand, I don't say this with any arrogance, but I'm not teaching something that I don't know firsthand. And what Maggie and I know firsthand in experience in this is not just for pastors, not just for teachers or elders or leaders. It's for every single person in the church, for we have been sustained by him supernaturally. Amen. Even through the worst wilderness experiences, he has taken care of us. Amen. He will give you all that you could possibly need, but no more, nothing to lay up in store. We'll come back to that later. Every day there was this continuity, 40 years, so that you and I would understand that he never changes. He says, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever." Even when they went into Canaan, we will see his provision was still there for them. It just came from a different way, a different direction. Yeah. But there is a question of where could they find their supply? Because you'll see they had to do something to receive it. It was grace and it was the gift of God, but where did they find it? You say, well, they found it outside of the camp. Yes, but where was the camp? The camp was wherever the Holy Spirit led them, wherever the presence of Christ led them in the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. Remember, when the cloud moved, the people were to move with it. They were to stay with the presence of God. And whenever the presence stopped, whenever the cloud hovered over one place and stopped moving, they would set up camp. And in the morning, they would go out and there would be manna. It wasn't at the last place that they camped. Your manna is not in your experiences from 5 years ago. It's being right at the presence of God right now. It's being close to the Lord. It's being where you camp. You and camp in His Word and in His will for your life. You're drawing close to Him. And whenever Christ is present in the midst of His people or individually, when you have His presence in your life, there will be manna. There will be provision. There will be supply for you. Now you walk outside of His will, even then in His grace, there may be some provision because He wants to woo you back. He wants to draw you back to that place. But there's no guarantee of His provision. He'll let you work for your own and suffer for it. But when you draw near to Him, you can count on His supply. He taught them through the giving of the gift, His care for them, and His greatness. His greatness. Previously, they had seen, as they came out of the land of Egypt, they had seen the plagues that fell upon Egypt by the mighty hand of God as Moses lifted his rod. They saw Moses lift his rod and God parted an ocean for them to march through. And now they saw His greatness by the quantity. The quantity of the provision that He made for them. We already saw the amount, and it went on for 40 years, staggering amounts of food and water. And yet, for those of you who sometimes think, well, I've asked Him for too much, I don't deserve anything. They didn't deserve anything either. I don't deserve any more. No, but if you'll draw near to His presence with a repentant heart yielded to Him, He never tires of hearing His children come and ask and bring their needs to Him. And His storehouse, after 40 years of millions and millions, billions of pounds of food and gallons of water, He had no less to give them than He had when He started. Amen. No draining of His storehouse. No draining of His supply. He has enough for everybody in this church and every believer all over this planet for a million years and beyond. It's an infinite supply that comes from the hand of God. The quantity. And He showed them His greatness by the method that He chose. The method was that bread usually comes from the ground, from grain that is grown in the ground and is harvested and is processed and is cooked. But this was bread that fell from heaven, came from the sky, came from the hand of God. And beloved, you can count on this. How many of you would say, I have been in a wilderness place? Or I sometimes go through wilderness places in my walk. Wherever God puts His feet, even the wilderness becomes a place of provision, supply, joy, a place where you know His presence. So I'm going to give you a statement for those of you that like to write things down, because you need to put this on your refrigerator or somewhere. The heavens supply what the earth denies. The heavens supply what the earth denies. That's what happened in this story. God will supply what man cannot give you, what man won't give you, and what your own work cannot supply for yourself. Whatever the earth realm, I'll say it that way, whatever the earth realm denies you that you need, God will supply it. The heavens will supply it. When man fails you, God will take care of you. David said in one of his psalms, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He will be mother and father to me. When the earth can give you no peace, I know that there are some here in this room that you have no peace. When the earth can give me no answers to the questions that I have. When I've done all that I can do and it's still not enough, God will carry you on eagle's wings. God will lift you up. God will answer you. God will provide for you. God will give you peace that passes all understanding. He will give you what man cannot give you. But remember, the teacher's teaching. This is every bit as much for you as it was the children of Israel.
Yes.
The teacher gives a gift. It comes with a test. In fact, we read one of the opening verses said that God said, I am going to do this in order to test them to see if they will walk in my ways. It comes out of his love and his grace, but it's accompanied by the watchful eye of God to see how we will respond. So he taught them through the gift, and now he is teaching them through the test. The gift becomes a test. You know, really their position was very pleasant. They really did not have to work for their food in the sense that most have to work long hours, 8 hours a day is average here, or till the ground and cultivate a field and bring forth a harvest and then go out and do some pretty hard work to gather that harvest, to glean it, to separate wheat from chaff and all of those things in order to have food. They didn't have to do any of that, but they did have to respond in obedience. They could not just sit in their tents and have it delivered to them. There's a response on man's part. When God gives a gift, number one, we have to rise up in faith and believe him in order to receive it.
Amen.
And so there was something required of them. They had to get up. They had to walk away from the encampment. They had to go out. They had to fill baskets and they had to bring it back. They had to cook it because God's not a God of idleness. He's not creating a lazy people here. But he wants to teach them something more important than our own work, which he commanded. 6 days you shall work.
Yes.
6 days you shall work, but far more important than that is that every day you shall see what you receive as coming from the hand of God, no matter how it comes, and depending entirely upon God.
Amen.
In order for your supply to be met. And it's interesting because when they go into the land of Canaan, well, it's just overflowing with grapes, giant bunches of grapes and all kinds of wonderful things for them. But they go in and they eventually do their own fields and all of this stuff. But God was teaching them first. And it's what he wants to teach us first when we come to him as new believers. He was teaching them first how to receive from his hand and to appreciate it and depend on him so that when they went into the land of Canaan and started farming and tending livestock and all of these things, they would still understand that it came as a gift from God.
Yes.
No matter what work they did. They had to believe, respond in obedience, go out and gather. It was given every single day, but I come back to something I said earlier. There was no surplus. Why was there no surplus? Because if they could have stockpiled it, they would have forgotten the giver, they would have forgotten dependence, and they would have begun to depend upon themselves, and had all of that supply would really be a supply of pride building up in their heart, saying, look what we do, we work so hard. Total dependence upon the Lord. Is that where you are as a believer? You say, I work hard for my money. The song says, I work hard for my money. Another song says, I come home and she holds out her hand and I give it all to her. I work hard for my money. But who gave you the strength? Who gave you the help? Who provided the ability? God says it all comes from Him and it all belongs to Him. He wanted them to understand total dependence and to depend upon Him and not have hearts of pride. Each Israelite had what he needed, and this in itself was the test. Listen to me. That they had what was sufficient. Those of you who have what is sufficient, but you don't have a lot stockpiled, listen closely. They had what they needed, and that in itself was and is a test. What do I mean by that? You may say, well, I've been working for years and I've really got nothing to show for it. We don't really have a wealthy congregation. Some of you might say, I've worked for years and if I lose my job next week, I could be homeless. Next month, I could be homeless. I've got nothing to show for it. I'm no further ahead than I was. I have no stockpile. I have no 401k. And you think, I should have done more. Well, it's all in your view. Because if you think that you should have done more and that you've not been taken care of well, you're saying, I did all of this and I didn't do enough. I've been working and I've been depending on myself to do all of this and now it's fallen short. I want to repeat what I said earlier. Heaven will supply what the earth denies. You see, you fail to see. When you say, I have nothing to show, you do have something to show. You have 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, whatever it may be, of God providing for you every single day, and He has never failed you or you wouldn't be here. Amen. Taking care of you, continual supply, day by day. For the Israelites, daily supply and blessing was a test that they could not pass. They did not pass it. They tried to gather extra. We read the story. Instead of trusting God with what they received, they tried to go out and gather extra. They murmured and they complained against the Lord. I would say to you this morning, now the Lord has surely taken care of you, His children. But are you able to pass this test? Are you able to pass this test? There's not a person in here that's not been taken care of by the Lord. Blessed. Remember, no extra, since there was no storehouse, listen closely, since there was no storehouse, there was no opportunity for greed or pride. So it wasn't long before some began to disobey. And to put him to the test. A man went out and he gathered his omer and then he thought, well, this stuff is awesome. I'm going to gather some extra. And he just ignores what the Lord had said. He gathers extra in case his supply fails. When he gets home, he cooks it or his wife cooks it. It turns out that after it's cooked, all that extra that he gathered, it still cooks to be the same amount. This stuff is all supernatural. No matter how much they gathered, it only fed them what they needed. And if they gathered less, just suppose none of them were really sick or ill, but suppose they had a man who was weak that day or was under the weather or whatever, and he went out and he just didn't have the strength, and he only gathered a half of an omer. And he brought it home and he cooked it. Guess what? He still had the same amount of food that he always had when he gathered an entire omer. It was always just what they needed. God knows exactly how much you need. Keep in mind, God does not skimp on his children.
Amen.
He lavishes.
Amen.
Yes. On his children. If you've never seen the movie Faith Like Potatoes, it's an old movie, old Christian movie, but if you've never seen it, sounds corny, but it's not. If you've ever seen the true story, Faith Like Potatoes, you need to go online, rent it, or buy it, and watch it. See what God does for his children who draw near in faith when they need provision. Beloved, God gives us as much grace as we need, but nobody has any grace laid up. There are some groups that teach perfection, and you'll hear somebody say, oh, I've got enough grace saved up for 10 days. I won't sin for 10. I've got enough grace saved up. I'm going to walk in perfection. You can't store up grace. It's given to you as you need it daily. His mercy is new every morning, the Bible says. And I will just give you a little illustration. It's hour by hour, even within the day. How many of you know I do not need grace yet to preach tonight? I only need grace to preach this morning. I always feel like I haven't done enough. I haven't prepared enough. I'm supposed to be preaching in Cuba next week. And I always am concerned. And I don't have to have grace for that yet.
That's right.
All I have to have grace for and anointing for is for right now, this morning. God will supply what I need then, when I need it. And it's the same for you. Do not worry about tomorrow, about these things. God said, don't try to keep any till the next day. Use what you gather. Use it up. But some tried. They tried to not eat it all in one day, and they kept it over till the next day, and it spoiled and bred worms. On Friday, they were to gather up double because of the Sabbath. And when they did it on Friday and gathered up double, it did not spoil the next day. All of this is a miracle. This morning, all of our supply depends upon Him. And I'm just going to tell you, if you're a believer, all of your supply must come from Him. Must come from Him, not from this world and not from your own success. Our supply is not based on our perfection. Amen. But is in response to our faith. It's in response to our faith. The Israelites had to go out each morning expecting, believing, but willing to gather it up and to use it up. Jesus said it this way: seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these necessary things will be added unto you. Tonight we're going to, it's an odd place to cut off, I know, but tonight we're going to continue, and we're going to look at the spirit to spirit, the spiritual aspect of this manna, because he teaches us first in the natural, and then he teaches us in the spiritual. So he was showing us in the old covenant his daily provision for us, which continues. And then in Christ, he teaches us when Jesus says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. But there's an invitation with this morning's message. This was the most basic of instructions that he wanted to give them. He had the tabernacle for deep things. He had the law to teach them right from wrong. But the most basic for the believer is to trust him. Is to trust him. This morning, I'm going to ask you this question. Are you still trying to be your own source? Are you still trying to be your own supply? Are you still trying to see to it that you do everything for yourself? Now, this isn't against working or having a 401k or any of those things. But do you fret if it's not there? Are you in fear about the future because you don't have enough? Are you afraid that you might not be healthy? Are you in fear that your family may have to do without. David said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And I will tell you this morning, for those who stay close to the cloud, the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, those who stay close to the presence of the Lord, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, and I have never seen their seed begging for bread. In fact, when you feel that you can't supply enough for your whole family and for those that you love, how many of you know that as you grow older and your children are growing older, that because whether they are even walking with God or not, because you are blessed by God, because you receive provision from God by faith, because He pours out upon you, some of it spills over and they get blessings of God also. And it's God wooing them and drawing them. It is not your job to even say, this isn't going to work. I don't have enough. How can I do this? It is your job to go to the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night and say, God, what would you have me do? If He wants to direct you in a different way in work or whatever, it's Him, not you. You're His servant. If the teacher created all things, how many of you know He knows the best job for you? How many consult Him first? He knows the best place for you to live. He knows the way that you are to handle your finances, and He will show you. He knows every aspect of your life, and He cares about every detail, and He even cares about your little oddities. Things that aren't necessities, He cares. We knew a missionary couple one time from South Africa. And the wife told us, she said, you know, when we went, started going on the mission field, she said, I wanted to obey the Lord and I would go anywhere, but I told the Lord, I only ask one thing, that I will always have hot showers. That I will always have hot water. And she said, He's never failed me. He cares about every detail of your life, and He not only gives you what you need, there are times that He throws in extra.
Yes.
Because of your desires. He cares about the desires of your heart.
Amen.
And I can promise you this morning, I'm going to close, but I can promise you this morning that His care for you is far better than yours for yourself will
Amen.
Ever be, no matter how much money you make.
Amen.
No matter how much you heap up, it can pass right through your hands like change going through a pocket with holes in it overnight. But when you depend upon God for supply and you let Him direct you, His supply never fails.
Amen.
Just remember, 4 million pounds a day, 11,000 gallons, 11 million gallons. 40 years. I can tell you, when we didn't have rent or when we did have rent, when we didn't have groceries or when we did have groceries, when we didn't have the means to go on a mission trip or we did have means to go on a mission trip, when we had an emergency and were unprepared, He didn't chastise us. When we didn't handle it well, even though He requires that of us, when we didn't manage it well and we came upon a need, He didn't chastise us. He always tries to teach us, but He never fails to care. Never fails to provide. He is a good Father.
Amen.
Stay close to the pillar of cloud by fire, of cloud by day and fire by night, presence of the Lord, and seek to obey Him in everything that you say and do. Trust Him.
Yes.
To provide no matter what you see with your eyes.
Yes.
And God cannot be unfaithful or He would be a liar.
Amen.
Let's stand.